What's up, everybody? Friday night. Yours truly is on fumes. Anybody that's overseas with a little bit of a time difference, you probably were up last night watching me tweet at 4 o'clock in the morning. Hectic night last night, but I am back. What's going on? DayHawk6DollarShirts.com. That's where you can get that shirt, by the way. Do you notice? If you missed yesterday's show, do you notice? I don't look yellow anymore. I don't look orange. I don't look like a Simpson. I don't look like Trump's hair or his face. I don't look like I have jaundice. You could all thank Mish. This is why, for how long have I been saying you need to know how to do your own shit? Because for a year, I just want to put this in perspective. This was a year ago. That was a year ago. Now, look, I didn't have the room set up yet. I remember people saying, Del, is that a food freezer? Yeah, it really was. What are you hiding dead bodies in there? I don't know what's up with my face, but you can even see I look pink. I look like a newborn that just came out of somebody's thing. That was a year ago. I thought it improved a little bit. And then, I don't know, for some reason, orange became the new skin color for yours truly. And I still have to make settings. But I got too frustrated on Monday. And, I said to Mish privately, I'm like, Mish, I don't understand it. I got lights up here, lights down here, lights over here, lights over here. They're not orange. Why is everything orange? And he said, what's up with your white balance? I said, I have no idea. So he asks me what I use, which is a Sony A6100 camera. He says, you probably have the white balance on automatic. And what happens when I wear different shirts, different colors, different logos? The camera sees that and adjusts the white level. So that's why some days I look tan, some days I look orange, some days I look yellow. So finally, yesterday, I changed the settings, and that is the result. Look at the difference. Look at that difference. Unbelievable. I finally look, I didn't look normal yesterday. You saw what I was wearing. I look like a cross of Saturday Night Fever, the Mafia, and Scarface. But, it's nice. See, I got to be careful how I say this. It's nice to look white. I don't mean that in a racial way, but instead of yellow and orange. Oh, my God. And I still have to tweak the colors a little bit more. But thank God. Go away. Go away. Go away. Am I stoked for the Royal Rumble? Am I amped? Am I pumped? Let's put it this way. I am that kind of looked wrong, right? I'm rolling the dice. I'm going to try something on Sunday I have never done before. A lot of you have been asking for it. I have watched other podcasters do it. It's not that difficult. As I told all of you, I got a nice laptop right here. When I used to have to do all the audio work for Kev shows, the laptop's sitting here doing nothing. It wants to be played with. So I figure Sunday, I turn the laptop on, I put the Royal Rumble on. We'll keep the volume low so we don't have to worry about any copyright issues on YouTube. And if you're around Sunday night and you want to have a little bit of fun, this is going down. We are doing the watch-along, everyone. We're going to do the watch-along, and what's cool about it is, you see that left side with all of the wrestlers? And look, Shaheen Nuclear Graphics does beautiful work, you know. But I had to put the 2021 logo over there to cover up the Adam Cole's NXT Heavyweight Champion, because this is obviously 2020 graphics, and some of those wrestlers are not going to be in the Royal Rumble, but it looks fucking sweet, so I use it. But on Sunday, for a majority of the night, that left side of the screen that you see right now will be replaced with the chat room. So everybody's reactions, including yours truly, will be on the screen. We will do a live watch-along now. Oh, yeah, and you see that 5 second over there in the left-hand corner? We will have a countdown clock. It'll be 9 seconds because when they start the 10 seconds countdown, like I said yesterday, WWE is working on a soundboard to do the 10-second countdown every time a wrestler is about to come out. So obviously, I'm not going to know the exact moment when they start going 10, 9. So the minute I hear 10, I got to race to my mouse and hit the button, and we do the countdown from 9 to 0. So that's what we're going to do. Now, a couple other things. Is Mish going to be on? Yes and no. Mish is having company. Mish is going to come on. Mish does not want to use his camera. The other room that he's watching the Rumble from doesn't have the camera there, so I don't expect him to set everything up over again. Plus, there's going to be a lot of beer spilled. There's going to be a lot of pizza. And, you know, you drink a little bit too much beer, especially if the pay-per-view sucks, you might have some people incapacitated. So Mish is going to be joining me periodically, audio only. Now, another question, and I thank everybody, Soulfly, I remember you said it yesterday, Mike and a few others. Thank you. Thank you for making it so easy to decide if we were going to do this. My biggest fear of always doing the watch-along for a pay-per-view is I don't want to sit in this chair for 4 hours doing a watch-along. And then because I always do the pay-per-view recaps 5 minutes after the pay-per-view ends, then I got to sit here for another hour and a half to 2 hours doing a recap. My ass is already partly numb, and I'm sitting here for 5 minutes. So I said, I don't know if I want to do both. And everybody gave such a logical answer yesterday. They said, DT, you're going to be doing a live reaction, a watch-along for 3 hours. Your comments during the live show is your recap, your feed. You're giving instant. When you do a pay-per-view recap, you're doing match by match. And you're trying to remember highlights, lowlights, and you forget a couple little things because I don't take 20 pages of notes. So every little nook and cranny is going to be discussed on the watch-along, which means, and this is the best part about it, the pay-per-view ends 10:30. 11 o'clock at night, I'm done. All I got to do is put the shows online and I could go sleep early. So no, there will not be a pay-per-view recap after the watch-along. The watch-along is basically both. Our live instant reactions to what we're seeing and our views of what's going down. And it's going to be pretty cool with some surprises because I already expect a lot of you in the chat room, big capital letters, logos, this and that. In fact, I might even launch the memberships tomorrow in case anybody wants to use like funny emojis and stuff like that. In fact, I might even, if I have some time tomorrow, make some custom Royal Rumble emojis so everybody could use it. We'll see. But you're all invited. Join me. We'll have a lot of fun. I don't think it's going to bomb. I mean, we always have some great convo. So how could it bomb? So that's going to go down. So 6:45 p.m., which is 15 minutes before the Royal Rumble. I know there's an hour pre-show. There's no reason for us to sit here and talk about the pre-show. If they have a match beforehand, I'll mention it during the pay-per-view. So, anyway, not a bad episode of SmackDown, even though they're following the same template for the last couple of weeks. You know, multiple wrestlers wrestling 2 and 3 matches. And you think, if you were sick of The Miz and Morrison, think of all the segments you got Monday. And then 4 days later, you got it again. I like Miz and Morrison. You know, there's things about how they're being utilized, which annoys the shit out of me. And when we get into pay-per-view predictions later on, you will hear me say again that I believe Drew McIntyre is going to pin The Miz at the Royal Rumble. So Goldberg loses, but he doesn't lose. By the way, anybody out there check out the clips that are floating around between Ryan Satin's interview and WWE's just highlighting Drew versus Goldberg? Goldberg's son fucking grew And this is, bring up Brody Jr. Brody Jr. is 8 years old. I mean, in 2 years, people are going to be like, holy shit, that's him? I saw Goldberg's son. And because it feels like yesterday when he was fighting Lesnar and Kevin Owens and going for the Universal title, even a year ago, his son has grown. You go check it out. You'd be surprised. That's how fast time flies. That's why I always say, you know, we always like to veg out once in a while. You know, you like to relax, take it easy, but don't waste too many days, seriously. Because you waste days, it turns into weeks and months, and you know the deal. So tonight's show here, I'm going to get into SmackDown a little bit. I will give you my Royal Rumble predictions, and I'm also going to get into the ratings with AEW and NXT. I know a lot of you out there are really curious about this week's numbers because NXT, you know, as I brought up yesterday, my predictions for the ratings were off. Absolutely, they were off. I gave AEW too high of a rating and I gave NXT too low of a rating. But my prediction for the combined rating was 1.452 million viewers, 1,452,000. The actual rating was 1,454,000. So I was off by 2,000 viewers. But here's the thing. A lot of people out there, and you know this happens every week, you get the people making excuses. And the one going around since yesterday is, oh, there was no feed. There was no feed for the first 18 minutes with Eddie Kingston and Lance Archer in a lot of areas. Yeah, it was mostly digital media. You had a little bit outside of it, but not enough to make a dent. So for people out there that are blaming that, when we get into the quarter hour ratings, you're going to see a trend that we've been talking about for about 6-7 weeks now. And it's no secret. This trend seemed to start right after they totally started ruining Jon Moxley's character in AEW. And right after they started doing this twist with the Inner Circle, you know, so we'll get into that a little bit later. Now, SmackDown tonight, obviously the go-home show for the Royal Rumble. No major surprises. As far as added names in the Royal Rumble matches, I'm not looking at my notes yet, but if I remember correctly, the only two names that were added to the men's Royal Rumble today that we did not have before SmackDown was King Corbin and Dominic Mysterio. They are in the Royal Rumble. So I think we have now 16 or 18 names out of 30. On the women's side, I think we only have 12 names out of 30, and no additional names were mentioned today. Now, tomorrow, I think it's 8 p.m. Eastern, WWE Backstage returns. Paige is going to be on it. Yes, Twitch page. You're going to have, I think, Booker T, and you're also going to have Renee Young. Now, something I totally forgot to mention last week. When they announced Paige, a lot of people were like, wait a minute, she's got this whole thing going on with WWE and Twitch right now, and she's doing her own thing. Like, you know, why are they bringing her back? Hey, wait a minute, Renee Young is no longer in WWE. In fact, they're kind of teasing like she may go to AEW, this and that. Well, here's the thing. This is Fox bringing them in. And if you look closely online, the WWE on Fox and those social media channels, they're the ones pushing this more than anything else. Of course WWE's pushing it because they got this crazy multi-million dollar deal with Fox. They're not going to just, you know, ignore them and act like they don't exist. No, they're going to acknowledge it. They're going to suck it up because there's money involved. But that's the deal more than anything else. Now, tomorrow, they're going to reveal who's going to be number 30 on the men's side. And they're also going to reveal who's number one and number two on the women's side. Now, like I said, I'm going to do my predictions later. But I will tell you right now, after SmackDown tonight, I kind of think that Bayley and Bianca Belair may end up starting off number one and number two. And if you remember what I said, I think it was Monday, I think Bianca Belair, it's a little too soon to have her have that WrestleMania title match. I know she's on some decent momentum. The WWE special they did on the network was awesome. I mean, she's riding so much positive right now. But still, she is very new to the WWE universe. Not everybody follows NXT. Plus, even when she was brought up to Raw, they did not use her very much. You know, they just, you know, they had to find their spot. And I'm glad they did. But I think another year under Bianca Belair's belt will just make her that much more. You know, I hate to use this term, but I've used this term for about 15 years now. You don't want WWE to blow their load now so quickly. And then where do you go from there? So I think, you know, maybe Bayley and Bianca Belair start 1 and 2. Bianca Belair at least. And she'll get very close to the end. But a lot of people think that Bayley may end up being the one to eliminate Bianca Belair, possibly. Who do I think is going to win the Women's Royal Rumble? I will tell you later. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. Just to fill in the blanks of what we did earlier. You know, what we said earlier. You know, we, like I had mentioned, we had multiple matches with the same people in it. Started as a one-on-one. A lot of people really looking forward to Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. Oh, suddenly the brand invitational is backed. And I thought of something today. And look, I'm not going to do things in order. But I want your input on this. Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, last man standing match. The feud has been spectacular. The only issue is we all know there is no chance whatsoever that Roman Reigns is losing this belt. We did not think it when he feuded with Jey Uso. We did not think it when he started feuding with Kevin Owens. Even when they teased maybe a feud with Daniel Bryan. No, there's just no chance he's losing this belt. So basically, since Roman Reigns has been champion, the big question is, okay, since we know he's going to win, how is he going to win? And yes, the outcome is predictable. And look, I've been a wrestling fan since 79. And trust me, most of the greatest storylines that we have ever witnessed involved matches that you really could not tell who was going to win. I mean, some of the greatest matches, it's a toss-up. The storyline is a toss-up. The match is a toss-up. It is very, 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 very rare to have, like, greatest matches where you know going into it there is only one outcome and one outcome only. So I'm thinking to myself, when you think of the storyline and you think of Kevin Owens, by the way, I thought his promo today was awesome. Did you catch Roman Reigns? I don't think Kevin Owens' father is deceased, but Roman Reigns, when he first started talking about Kevin Owens' family, I could have sworn he said to Kevin Owens, how was, you know, dad, your dad, or how, I think he might have said the past terms. Like I said, I don't follow his family closely. I don't think any of us should, you know, unless, you know, for any specific reason. But I don't know if Kevin Owens' father is deceased. Because Kevin Owens corrected Roman Reigns and said, is. But, you know, Roman Reigns putting down Kevin Owens' family. And I tell you, I love that. Roman Reigns, how many of you have done this over the years? You're on the phone with someone and you're pushing that person's buttons and you're pissed off and you're telling that person off and that person's just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And then that mother snaps and you just put that person over the edge, and before that person could say a freaking word to you, you hang up the phone. Ultimate. Ultimate. That is owning someone to the umpteenth degree. You do an instant message online. Somebody pissed you off, and you're just throwing darts and darts and darts and darts, and you're just getting that person angry and angry and angrier. And if it happens to be like a live chat and a whole bunch of people are witnessing it, and you could just picture on the other side of the computer the person's face getting redder and redder and redder. And then they just like burst like the Incredible Hulk. And right when they're like, you know what, you son of a bitch, I am gonna... You just close the chat conversation. That's what Roman Reigns did to Kevin Owens today. And honestly, I thought it was awesome. Kevin Owens killed it on the mic. I always say to you, some of the best promos is when you could bring in reality, real life. That's why Eddie Kingston always knocks it out of the park. That's why people made such a big deal about Heath Slater when he made that one appearance back in the WWE. That's why you see some of the promos being cut. When it involves reality and real life, you could go to a place that you can't go if someone is handing you a fucking script, unless you are an incredible actor. I mean, it's very hard to go there. And Kevin Owens goes there, and he kills it. He kills it. But I tell you, Roman Reigns just, you know, you just see Kevin Owens is like, watch it. Watch it, Roman Reigns. You better be careful. Watch it. He fucking cut his ass off. Loved it. I'm telling you, the art of the promo is hard to master. You're right, Raf, man. Absolutely right. So I just saw this now, man. Jay Carlos, cheers for white Don Tony. It's not even white. It's just I did not realize how yellow and orange I looked. I think I really did look like, you know, Fat Simpson, you know, like Chubby Simpson, Guido Simpson. I look like a Simpson character. And like I said, little by little, I'll be tweaking the colors a little bit further. But yeah, no Jey Uso tonight. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't read into that, but let me get back to my original thought. Something is going to cause Kevin Owens to not get up. Anyone out there think of the possibility? Just Chris. What's up, Just Chris? Anyone think of the possibility that Adam Pearce causes Kevin Owens to win? Just thinking outside the box. They forced those seeds planted about that past relationship with Kevin Owens and Adam Pearce. I mean, if Jimmy Uso makes a return, maybe Adam Pearce reluctantly does something because Roman Reigns, you got to think about things like this. When Kevin Owens brings up the mafia, all right, trust me, I've been around legit people, wannabe, cardboard, fake people. And one thing is that when you're like part of the mob, you pay people off. And the thing is that Roman Reigns needs to pay somebody off, whether it's the referee or it's Adam Pearce. The only problem is, here's the only problem with this. If Adam Pearce does something heelish, what does that do with his future character? He can't just show up on Raw and announce matches. He just turned, you know. So something, I don't know. Thinking about it, trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen. But, you know, we'll see. James Earl Cash, what's going on? Little roll call, Darren Gordon Hill, David Levy, Austin Nance, SoFly, Bemore, Raffman, Philip Promoter, Mystery Man, VJ, Devin, James Earl Cash, as I said, Benjamin, you know, you could all thank Benjamin. Benjamin was the one on my ass more than anybody else, like, DT, you're orange. This week you're yellow. This week you're orange yellow. What's up with your colors? Benjamin gets it. One fall, what's going on? Roger Rubio. By the way, Dorian, Lion, Sterling. I know I'm calling you all by your first names. Ken terminated by DQ. What's going on, brother? I mailed out some of the prizes today. I mailed out three of the Chris Candido books. We'll have Johnny Candido on shortly. Soulfly, I got your bobblehead boxed up, ready to go. It'll go out Monday. And two prizes from last night. As of this afternoon, I didn't get your emails yet with your addresses, so those will go out on Monday. Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, love the interaction today. I don't care that Roman Reigns is going to win the belt. I mean, retain. I just want to see, you know, like, it's like when you buy, like, something already prepared, like food. It's already prepared. Sometimes you wish you could go in the kitchen and see how it's made. Sausage. There's a phrase out there. You always want to see how the sausage is made. So I want to see how we get from point A to point B. I'm still going with my original prediction of who's going to win the Men's Royal Rumble. Remember last year, I'm sorry if anyone hates that I do this bragging-wise, 2 months. It was actually 8.5 weeks before the Royal Rumble last year. I came on the show and said that Drew McIntyre is going to win the Royal Rumble. A lot of people thought I was nuts. A lot of people were like, where do you get that? And I'm just a feeling. So for the last 3 months, I've been picking one person. I could say it now. Why not? Brock Lesnar. If Robert Roode could get his ass into the United States, because a lot of people are saying that he currently still lives in Canada and it took a while for him to get in. If he could end up in the United States, and some other people can as well for other promotions, Brock Lesnar could get into the United States. So I'm going to stick with that prediction. I think Brock Lesnar is going to win the Royal Rumble. I think this year we're going to have two WrestleMania rematches. We'll see. We'll talk about it in a little bit. SmackDown opens up with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan in the ring, dressed as Daniel Bryan dresses, not criticizing it. He likes flannel. He likes the plaid. He likes brown. Daniel Bryan's got a little style to himself. I have zero issue with it whatsoever. Devin, man. See, Devin, you don't have to do that, man. You don't have to super chat me just to ask for an email. I mean, I will buy a Starbucks, you know, coffee with it. I'm kidding. In fact, you know what, Devin? I'll include a couple extra goodies worth more than that. But my email address is dontony@, this is hard, everybody. And if any of you ever want to email me, I don't bite. You can email me. dontony@dontony.com. I try to make it as easy as possible. That's why when we start taking calls, I don't remember the exact number, but it's 8-something-something Don Tony. I always try to make it as easy to remember as possible. And, oh, Austin Nance, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, a lot of you already know my father had a stress test 2 days ago, had some complications. I didn't even know that they used smelling salts in that process. They laid him on the floor, gave him smelling salts. They finished the stress test, and he's got to get a couple of stents put in his heart. So this Tuesday, he gets a COVID test done, and this Thursday, he gets the stents put in. So I probably, and I can't go to the hospital, obviously, so I don't want anybody to be like, oh, what are you doing the show for if he's in the hospital? We're in COVID. I can't. But during the show, I might even get a phone call to tell me, you know, we just don't know what time he's going to get it done yet. But I sincerely thank each and every one of you out there. Thank you. By the way, I'm going to wait till Monday. But there's a very special friend of the show who just lost his mother yesterday. And I'd rather talk about it with Mish on, and, you know, we'll mention it Monday, but I know some of you already know who it is, but so to get back to SmackDown. SmackDown opens up with Daniel Bryan. You know, he does what's the annual tradition. Right before the special pay-per-views, you basically run down what the pay-per-view is about. Oh, I'm in the Royal Rumble. I got to eliminate 29 other men. And he mentions that of all of his accolades, he's never won the Royal Rumble. So, you know, he feels he's ready. His hips, I look like that little beaver thing, Gopher from Caddyshack, you know, Gopher. His hips are ready. Otis, Chad Gable trained him well. He's interrupted by AJ Styles with almost. I know almost. I say almost. Amos. They're changing it a little. I like to say almost. But hey, if it's Amos, we got to respect it and say Amos. But AJ Styles comes out, kind of, you know, makes fun of Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan in his promo said he doesn't know how much time he has left in the wrestling ring. And AJ Styles basically taunting him, you know, it seems like you already have one foot out the door and blah, 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 blah. And AJ Styles, because of the brand, you know, invitational, he issues the challenge to Daniel Bryan tonight, one-on-one. Before, you know, they actually have the challenge accepted, AJ Styles shoves Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan tries to get at AJ Styles, almost gets in the way, and pretty much we know later on we're getting AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan. So looking forward to it. I'm surprised at how many people are predicting Daniel Bryan's winning this Royal Rumble. I like Daniel Bryan. Big fan of Daniel Bryan. Would have no problem if Daniel Bryan won the Royal Rumble. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I think the reason why a lot of people are saying that is because there were a couple of times this year they teased Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan, but never went with it. So I think a lot of people think that those teases were seeds being planted. I'm not so sure of that. The problem is, who challenges Roman Reigns? You know, I've been saying Big E for the longest, and Big E, there's still plenty of time for him to lose his championship. I personally think Big E, if he's going to challenge Roman Reigns, will win the Elimination Chamber. And I kind of still leaning towards there. Obviously, in 48 hours, we will know what ended up happening. But a lot of people think Daniel Bryan. You know, it's just, for me, and I'm just being very sincere right now. For me, if Daniel Bryan takes on Roman Reigns, I just don't see Daniel Bryan defeating Roman Reigns and getting that belt back. I just don't feel it. Because then I say to myself, okay, and then what? All right, what? A rematch feud and then Roman Reigns gets the belt back? I'm not sure how I feel about that. But with Big E taking on Roman Reigns, it's really a toss-up to me. One side says to me, oh, I could picture that WrestleMania moment of Big E winning and everybody, you know, almost like when he won his title now. They hold him up in the air and it's such a feel-good moment. You have Xavier Woods come out and Kofi and everything else. It'd be very special. And then the other side of me says, Roman Reigns should hold that title until the summertime. Roman Reigns needs to be champion when paying fans can return on a consistent basis. So I like feeling more of a toss-up in a match. That's why I kind of like Big E versus Roman Reigns a hell of a lot more than Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. So next we have Bianca Belair versus Bayley. Bianca Belair beats Bayley. You know, a decent match. SmackDown standards, decent match. You know, this is to a lot of, you know what, before I even went live, a lot of you were saying, you know what, yeah, I could see Bayley eliminating Bianca Belair at the Royal Rumble. I mean, I'm not 100% sure it's going to be Bayley and Bianca 1 and 2. I almost could see Bayley coming in later and eliminating Bianca Belair, or maybe Bayley gets eliminated earlier and she hangs around ringside and nobody knows about it. And then she causes Bianca Belair to, you know what? I just thought it. thought, great English, right? I just thought of it. I could picture Bayley and Bianca Belair brawling early in the Royal Rumble. Bayley gets eliminated. Bayley hides under the ring. And then later in the match, when they're down to a very small number of people and Bianca's still in the match, somebody teases throwing Bianca over the top rope. Bianca is teetering on the top rope. And then Bayley comes, yanks her by the hair, causes Bianca to go over. Bayley is hidden under the ring. Nobody sees it. Bianca Belair is eliminated. That's how I feel right now. I do not, for a while I thought Bianca Belair, I'd like to see her win the Rumble. Now I say no. Give it another year. No rush. But after their match is over, which was a lot of fun, Bianca's cutting a promo, very emotional, you know, talking about, you know, where she came from and where she's at now. They mentioned the network special. In fact, you know, some love being spilled tonight between Bayley and Bianca and vice versa. You know, Bayley in her promo was talking about, you know, Bianca, and she admires her and she's sort of special and this and that. And then later on, Bianca is talking about Bayley, you know, longest reigning Grand Slam champion. They mentioned that also. So you got, you know, the usual, you know, you're supposed to be bitter enemies, but I got to give you some compliments in the process. That's a formula WWE does 95% of the time. You know, Sam, I actually thought about Lana winning it. I think it would really backfire big time. I think it would backfire big time. And I understand why some people are saying that, you know, the relationship between Asuka and Lana, you know, but I don't see that. And Prince Albert's, I'm with you. I'll say who I think's going to win the Women's Rumble later on. But so Bianca's talking about this is the greatest match in her career so far, and the only thing that could top it off is if she wins the Royal Rumble. Bayley's in the ring with a puss on her face, kind of mocking Bianca Belair. But, you know, decent match. Not bad at all. King Corbin versus Dominic. You know, this is filler. You know, Corbin's henchmen, once again, nowhere around ringside. I don't know why WWE dropped that so quickly. I don't know. Maybe because they're not in the Royal Rumble and maybe they wanted to, you know, justify. Maybe they wanted the match to take place and it'd be focused only on those two guys and no one else. I have no idea. But once again, Dominic loses to King Corbin. And, you know, Dominic comes out, attacks Corbin from behind. They have a quick match, but Corbin hits the end of days. And what happened to Rey Mysterio's, you know, ultimatum for Dominic a couple of weeks ago? If you don't win, then we're going to do it my way. Was today your way, Rey? Was today your way? Attack from behind and still lose? Consistency, please. Sam, did I see what Dom did at the end of the match? Yes. I think, you know, the problem is, Sam, is Rey Mysterio doing what he's doing after the match is over is all nice and everything, but the match is already over. I mean, if you remember the storyline, if you don't win, then we do it my way. So what's your way? Wait until your son loses and then, you know, get involved and attack Corbin? I don't know. I'm not feeling it, man. Listen, you'd be surprised a couple of weeks ago how many people were reporting that Rey Mysterio was heavily being considered to win the Royal Rumble. I don't see that anywhere. Rey Mysterio right now is doing fine with his son. But they need to simplify that storyline a little bit because, you know, you look at it week after week, there's a lot of holes in it, Dominic turning heel in the future, Austin, yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, I thought he was going to join up with Seth Rollins. By the way, I believe Seth Rollins will be one of the participants in the Royal Rumble. So when we get into predictions, I'll get into that a little bit more. But I thought Dominic early on was going to turn on his father and join up with Seth Rollins. They didn't do it. You know, I'm fine with it. Dominic has been doing a damn good job in the ring. I mean, you know, when he first came in, I mean, 99% of everyone out there had no idea if this guy could wrestle at all. It was almost like a hidden secret. You know, it's like the secret recipe of Kentucky Fried. Nobody could see it. It's a secret. And he's doing a damn good job. I don't care, Sam. Dom tapped Baron Corbin and said, good match. Doesn't matter. He lost. The formula is to win. He lost. The formula is to win. You win. That's it. You do stuff after. I don't care. Nice match, bad match, attack, shake hands, respect, no respect. Doesn't matter. In the record books is what it matters. So, and if anything, Dominic should have gotten the Riot Act read to him by Ray. It's about winning. Especially going into the Royal Rumble. You know. Big E in the back, Sonya Deville. Miz and Morrison show up. And Sonya Deville says that Adam Pearce is off because of what happened last week. Even more why I think Adam Pearce is making an appearance at the Royal Rumble. Has anyone out there? Yes, Phil, Sonya looked fine today. Sonya, I'm really happy that she's back. And you know what? Even though in storyline, her idea of booking the one-on-one match, then the six-man tag match, then the nine-man tag match, then the 10-man tag match, because Sheamus, I guess, was taking a dump in the back, couldn't come out right away. You know, that storyline. She looks like she's happy. I'm glad that she's back. I'm glad that she's in a better place. I could only imagine what this woman went through having that psycho showing up at her house. And I always say it, and I'll continue saying it, and I'll never stop saying it. Always remember that there was a second person in that house, you know, and that person, that psychopath, Lord knows what he would have done to Mandy Rose if he realized Mandy Rose was there. I mean, it's just, thank God, you know, they caught him, they got him before anything could happen. So, because like I said since day one, you know, Mandy Rose has gone through some big time trauma as well. And for all we know, that could be a little bit why they have taken baby steps with her out there. So we really don't know. We really don't know. And thank you, everyone, because, you know, for the compliments. And it's so easy to just focus only on Sonya Deville and forget that Mandy Rose was not only there, but, she's witnessed everything as well. And that guy, if you know the whole backstory to this, what that guy would have done to her, I don't even want to think about it, man. So anyway, Miz and Morrison is there, and they're making little jokes about the stock market and GameStop and everything like that. And that GameStop stuff is nuts. Somebody almost convinced me to use one of my credit cards and buy a little bit of stock today. You know, I don't want to get into the stock over here. Tonight's wrestling show. We could always get into it next week. But a lot of people are treating the stock market like right now like going to a casino. They're going to a casino. And for people out there that are still very confused what's going on with the stock market and some of these stocks, I explained it to someone earlier today, and I think the best way I could give you all advice is if you replace the word stock with a can of Lysol or toilet paper a year ago, if you just replace stock with one of those things, because Amazon right now, cans of Lysol still average $12 to $15 a can. If you replace stock with a can of Lysol, you think about the pandemic, you'll understand completely what's going on. You know, people just trying to buy at a price. The more people buy, the more it's in demand, the more it jacks up the price. Then you try to sell high, and then a lot of people sell at the same time. That causes the price to nosedive. You have your profit. When it nosedives, you go down there, you buy it all again, and you buy it at that low price, and hopefully everybody wants the Lysol so badly that the price goes back up sky high, and then you sell it again when it's sky high, and then the price... When you have a ton of people doing that all at the same time, that's what happens. The problem is people get greedy. And when you get greedy, it's like being at the blackjack table and letting it ride. You win $2, I let it ride. I won $4, you let it ride. I won $8, I let it ride. I won $16, you let it ride. And you keep doing that, and now you're up to $500. It's like a bad episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Goofy, you know, the guy that danced. He, you know, like, I just let it ride, let it ride. And then he loses it all. It's the best way I could describe it. Yes. Look, Darren, if it's not illegal, and if anybody out there could make a killing in the stock market, good for you. Good for you. Because without getting into politics today, you see all these government people, whether they were pro-Trump, anti-Trump, you know, left, right, middle, whatever it is. Everything that's going on with this pandemic, they have their jobs. They go out to eat when no one else can. They go get haircuts. They go do whatever the fuck they want to do because they feel that they are higher than us. And as a result, they have the right. And that's why, like I said, early last year, that's what I gave the government. I care less about Trump. Could care less about Biden. I care less about anybody. I actually, right now, as weird as it sounds, I kind of like Bernie out of all of them because Bernie means well. So, but anyway. So Morris and Miz are there, gets into it with Big E a little bit. So you know we're getting something later on. We're getting something later on. Reginald approaches Sasha Banks, offers her a bottle of wine. Sasha wants to know from Reginald, like, what's a good wine for Carmella so she could drink it with a busted jaw. And, you know, I've noticed it for a while now, but you could hear this manufactured laugh from Sasha Banks, you know, and good for her, man. Good for her. She, you know, it's not easy to fake laugh. I mean, it's hard for me now because I'm on video, but I mean, over the 20 years, 25 years of doing shows, I'm not going to lie. It has been hundreds of times that, you know, just have a conversation. Fake laughs. Fake laughs. Or exaggerated laughs. But she's got this one now, and she's like, ha, ha, ha! You know the laugh I'm talking about with Sasha, right? You know, I want to know what kind of wine, so, you know, what she could drink with a busted jaw. Ha, ha, ha! That fake laugh is funny from Sasha. I'm warming up to Sasha Banks. I mean, you know, everybody knows, but... Seriously. Oh, no, Muttley. This is Muttley. I can't do it with glasses. Then Muttley from Dick Dastardly, I think it was. See, if I'm more tired and, you know, like I'm wheezing, then I could do it even better. But, whew. It's the last part. Something tells me that cartoon hired someone with emphysema. You know, we need someone with really bad, fucked up lungs to do that laugh. That last little bit. So anyway. So we know we're getting something later with Big E and Miz and Morrison and other shit. We have that little confrontation with Sasha Banks and Reginald. We already talked about Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. Now we get the main events. AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan. Cesaro comes out on commentary. Now, I know Cesaro was talking to AJ earlier, seed planted. Cesaro's on commentary, and then Sami Zayn comes out earlier in the night. Sami Zayn talks to Nakamura, look, your best days were when you were with me, and I helped you here. Could you help me out? Nakamura says, go to hell, setting up more seeds planted. So Sami Zayn comes out, and we get a little bit of, you know, bullshit outside the ring. And next thing you know, someone gets thrown over a table. And who was it that Cesaro kicked? Chat room, who did Cesaro kick? Because it was kind of goofy. Was it Sami Zayn? I don't think it was Sami Zayn. Because somebody came out at ringside and got knocked in the announcer's table. Big E, thank you. It was Big E. And Cesaro looks at him. He's like, what are you doing? What's your problem? I was on commentary. And next thing you know, Cesaro lifts that son of a bitch leg as high as he possibly could and wails Big E in the face. And we get this all clusterfuck outside the ring. We go to break. We come back. I have to look at my notes for this one because it changed so many times. We had Daniel Bryan. What match was before that? We had Daniel Bryan, Big E, and Nakamura. We had Daniel Bryan, Big E, and Nakamura versus Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and AJ Styles. That was the second match. So we got a six-man tag. That's going on. The next thing you know, you got Otis come out. First, Miz and Morrison's music hits. They get involved in the match. Remember earlier, Big E went at it with Miz and Morrison. You see all the seeds that were planted today? You know, kind of generic seeds. You know, Cesaro's talking to AJ. Oh, that's why I'm at ringside. Oh, Big E comes out, confronts it. Sami Zayn comes out. Big E, not my champion. So Big E knocks out Sami Zayn. Miz and Morrison come out because Big E attacked him earlier. And then, you know, it goes further. So that match ends in a disqualification with the baby faces winning, the good guys winning. We go to commercial again. We come back. And there's nine people in the ring now. Nine. And you realize quickly we're getting what WWE's been doing the last couple of weeks. Using multiple people in multiple matches to make it look like it's a loaded card and you're using probably half the wrestlers you normally use. That's why some people have two segments, three segments in the back when you think about it. So now we have Daniel Bryan, Big E, Nakamura, Otis, only four people versus AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Miz, and Morrison. So it's a handicap match. 5-on-4. Heels have 5. Good guys have 4. And then later on in the match, suddenly Sheamus's music hits. And it was funny because to me, it looked like, okay, Sheamus is probably taking a dump in the back and couldn't start the match off right away. And he gets into the match and, you know, ends up he hits the bro kick to Sami Zayn. And the good guys win. So Daniel Bryan got 3 wins tonight, officially in the record books. So now Miz and Morrison, they attack Sheamus, and we got more Braun. And now Braun Strowman comes in. And they're talking about how jacked he is, how cut up he is, Braun Strowman looked great. And he just clean house. And that was your episode of SmackDown. So, yes, Braun Strowman is in the Royal Rumble. So we are officially at 20 names. 20 out of the 30 names for the Men's Royal Rumble have been announced. So just so you know the names that are officially announced right now, the 20 names are Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley, Randy Orton, Miz, Morrison, Otis, Jey Uso, Cesaro, Jeff Hardy, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Nakamura, Big E, Mustafa Ali, Sheamus, Dominic Mysterio, Baron Corbin, King Corbin, Braun Strowman, and Edge. Those are your names. So there are 10 names that are not announced. I think we may get a couple of NXT names in the Rumble and not just names of people making the jump to the main roster. Even though they said that NXT was not going to be taking part in the Royal Rumble this year, I think even on the women's side, I think you're going to get a couple of names that will appear and perform in the Royal Rumble. Look, Bianca Belair last year was in the Rumble. Casey Catanzaro was in the Rumble. Remember the contest last week? So, you know, I think we will see a couple of names. I think we're going to get a good share of legends to be in the match. I feel Booker T has to be in the Men's Royal Rumble match. You have Bad Bunny performing, and you're just going to perform? I mean, and Booker T's going to be there, and what are you going to do? Booker T's going to lip sync every time? Can you dick it, sucker? Like, no, I think there's more than that. I think Booker T will be in the Royal Rumble. I don't know about Velveteen Dream, David Levy. I think Damian Priest has got to be in the Royal Rumble. I personally think maybe Cameron Grimes will end up in the Royal Rumble because he has pretty much just flat out disappeared. And WWE had a lot of stock in Cameron Grimes. Now, if you follow Wednesday Night Dynamite every week, you know my rants on WWE not using certain people on TV to just destroying the ratings. And if you notice, 2 weeks ago, when I had made that infamous joke about will ever rise, there's been some of those names that have been just dreadful in the ratings. They have not used. And they have focused on other names and given some other opportunities. And when I get into the numbers this week, it's going to be a little bit surprising of what you're going to hear. So I dig Damian Priest in the Royal Rumble. I dig Booker T in the Royal Rumble. I think Brock Lesnar should be in the Royal Rumble. I think The Fiend will be in the Royal Rumble. So right there, we're already at 25 names. You know, as far as additional legends, you know, it's very possible. Very possible. I don't think Karrion Kross is in the Royal Rumble. I think focus on NXT, man. His goal is that title and should stay focused on that. Now, I ask for the chat right now. You have my undivided attention. Who do you think, honestly, that you think is going to be in the Men's Royal Rumble right now? Don't do women yet. We'll get to the women in a second because we're doing predictions right now in case you haven't noticed. We're going to do, there you go. There's the Royal. Personally, I like the cartoon graphics. I like it. But yeah, so we're kind of doing some Royal Rumble predictions right now. So not who you want in the Royal Rumble. Who do you think will be in the Royal Rumble? I do not think Adam Cole is going to be in the Rumble. Great Khali, I don't want to see that. Carlito, I would like to see. I'd like to see Carlito, but I personally don't know. Pat McAfee, I don't think would be in the Royal Rumble, although that's not a bad choice. Honky Tonk Man, I don't think so. Big Show, you know what? Big Show is a great one. I'd like to see Big Show go in there again. What I don't want to see is I don't want to see him enter with a big smile on his face, get eliminated, and he still has the big smile on his face, and he goes in the back. No. John Cena, yes. John Cena, I believe, will be in the Royal Rumble. I think John Cena, the big question is, who does John Cena face at WrestleMania? Who does he face? I want to see Edge versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania. That's what I tweeted. I don't want to see Edge versus Drew McIntyre. You're going to go from Drew McIntyre facing a legend who wrestles once or twice a year to another legend that only wrestles once or twice a year. I don't want to see that. The Fiend in a rematch, I don't know if I really want to see that, to be honest with you. Samoa Joe, excellent one, Kevon Lewis. I'd love to see Samoa Joe in the Royal Rumble again. And I'd love to see it where Samoa Joe is doing commentary, and he's got the, do I have headsets around? Yeah. I got pants on, everyone, before you say it. I want to see Samoa Joe have the headphones on like this, and then they go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you hear Samoa Joe's music. Excuse me, fellas. Put the headset down, enter the ring. The only thing that sucks about that is, you know, you get eliminated quickly. He comes back, puts the headphones back on. Work with me, headphones. There you go. Puts the headphones back on. Shit. What the hell, man? Oh, there we go. All right. Puts the headphones back on. They're not working. Fuck it. Who else? Jared King Lawler, I do not want to see. Seth Rollins, we said earlier, will be in the Rumble. So when you think about it, we're already at like 26 names. You add up the names that we just said, we're already at 26, maybe even 27. Darren Gordon Hill wants to let everyone know that he's pantless right now. I got pants on. I got pants. I promise you I have pants on. Bronny says, that would be cool. What's wrestling? That's what wrestling days would like happen. Oh, as far, yeah, I love the idea, man. Great minds think alike. And a lot of you came up with that idea as well. I'm not claiming to be the only one. But, you know, that's a decent number of people already. I think we will get at least three names from NXT. Hall of Famers, you know, it's rough, man. I mean, you're not going to get Hogan. You're not going to get Flair, obviously. There's no way they would do that. I don't think we'll see Santino either. But my pick, I'm going to stick with it. I think if WWE wanted Brock Lesnar, put it this way, WWE did not wait until 2-3 weeks before the Royal Rumble to decide they want Brock Lesnar to win it. If Brock Lesnar returns at the Royal Rumble, trust me when I tell you, especially with COVID, you know, I know a lot of wrestling websites like to try to make fluff pieces out of it and everything, but there is a long-ass procedure that is involved to get somebody in, especially from Canada, and you really have to pretty much convince that they're considered an essential employee as well. And Canada's rules are not the United States rules. So if they were planning on Brock Lesnar to come back in the Royal Rumble, even if Brock Lesnar loses in the Royal Rumble, even if he gets eliminated, if Brock Lesnar were to return, trust me when I tell you, this has been worked on with the Canadian government for months and months and months. And they probably had this all settled and resolved months ago. And it was just a matter of waiting and waiting and getting tested. And who knows? Maybe Brock Lesnar's been vaccinated already, for all we know. I don't know. Don't know. But I am going to stick with my... Okay, Devin is asking me, would I really want another Brock run? I'm being honest with you, man. Oh, we got to do this every week. For like the third week in a row, my mood as far as Monday, Wednesday, and Friday's wrestling has not changed. That is how I felt this week about pro wrestling. Wednesday was my favorite night of the week. Tonight was fun, but, you know, it was a couple of things that were just very predictable, which, you know, I would have loved to have seen AJ Daniel Bryan match go a lot longer. And Raw was just... So put it this way, when every week we feel about like that about Raw, you mean to tell me bringing Brock Lesnar back, giving him a couple extra bucks? And remember, and this is why I like the Brock Lesnar idea, something nobody's thought about. If Brock Lesnar is back, he's not flying back to Canada every week after Raw is over. That's why I say if they arranged for Brock Lesnar to return, it's not just returning at the Royal Rumble. It's where is this guy going to live for the next month or two, at minimum 3 months possibly. So he has to have some type of residence set up in Florida. So I don't look, we don't know if Brock is returning. But the reason why I am fine with the Brock Lesnar return, if it happens, is because he will be in Florida or an adjoining state for the next couple of months. So he will be available and local pretty much every week. So I don't think you're going to have a situation where Brock shows up 1 week, doesn't show up for a month. I don't think you're going to get that. They're not going to send him back to Canada. And it's just, no, it's not going to happen. So, and yes, Lion brings up a good point. Sable is from Florida, Jacksonville area. So she may have family there. So I'm going to stick with my prediction with Brock Lesnar returning, winning the Royal Rumble, and we get the WrestleMania rematch. The difference is Drew McIntyre is the champion. Brock Lesnar is not. So now, since we're talking about the men's side, Drew McIntyre versus Goldberg. The match is going to be, I think, longer than we expect. I believe Miz is going to cash in his briefcase. Personally, how I feel about it is they had Miz cash in the briefcase the last pay-per-view. Somebody after thought it is brilliant idea that, hey, you know, we should have had him cash in at the Royal Rumble. This way, Goldberg doesn't have to get pinned. Oh, so how do we give the briefcase back to Miz? Oh, I got it. You know, Adam Pearce will be convinced that Morrison handed the briefcase in, even though Miz wrestled the fucking match, and they do it. And it was, as much as I'm a fan of Miz and Morrison, it was pathetic. It was just dumb on TV. So Brony's phone is getting low, so he might get cut off. So, what am I, French? Enjoy the weekend, my friend, if he got cut off. Hopefully I'll see you Sunday. But, so, you know, I just feel like, you know, I don't know. I just, how Miz got the briefcase back was just stupid. Absolutely stupid. And it just felt like somebody changed their mind. Somebody changed their mind. So because Miz still has the briefcase and because they are forcing Miz in this storyline and Miz Morrison got attacked by, well, got receipts by Goldberg, and I think Miz is going to cash in. Maybe Morrison cashes in the briefcase again and Miz will get claymored. He might even get speared and claymored, or, you know, maybe Miz gets speared and Drew claymores Goldberg, and before Goldberg could get up, Drew pins Miz. Drew retains without pinning Goldberg, and we'll probably have something on Raw where Miz will go to Adam Pearce and say, look, I didn't cash it in, Morrison did, and Adam Pearce is going to say, too bad. And if that happens, then you could see WWE just change their mind about the cash in. So I say Drew McIntyre retains. Asuka and Charlotte defending the women's tag team titles against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I don't know how I feel about this because they've been doing this shit with Lacey Evans and Charlotte. Will Lacey Evans get involved? If Nia and Shayna win the belts again, who are they going to feud with? Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose? I mean, come on. It just feels like a huge step backward leading into WrestleMania. So it feels like Asuka is either going to be taking on Charlotte at Mania, or Asuka loses the belt to Charlotte and Charlotte faces my Royal Rumble winner pick, which I will reveal in a few moments. But then where does this leave Asuka? Is Asuka going to continue a feud with Alexa Bliss? Does Asuka bring back her ulterior, you know, that character that everybody's wanted to see her do? I don't know. I just don't know. Where does this go with Asuka unless you do a three-way at Mania? So I personally think, look, we still have a couple of months before WrestleMania. I think it's a little too early to have Charlotte and Asuka lose the belts now. I think it's a little too early. So I'm going to say that Asuka and Charlotte will retain, and then maybe the storyline gets a little bit further. Maybe something happens where Charlotte and Asuka are not on the same page, and then they ultimately lose the tag titles, and then maybe Charlotte turns on Asuka, and, you know, maybe something happens there. I don't know. But I just think it's a little too soon. And I don't know, as much as I like the team of Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, I don't know who would they feud with. Now, remember, they're allowed to be on both brands. But even when I look at the SmackDown side, you know, I don't know who they feud with. I personally think we may see Nia Jax versus Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania. So I don't know. Right now, I say they retain. Women's side, we have Sasha Banks versus Carmella for the SmackDown Women's Championship. That's their match, right? Sasha and Carmella have a match Royal Rumble, right? They have a match. So there's no way I see Carmella winning this match. Sasha Banks, you know, is going to feud with somebody. And I personally think my pick for the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble, I could see this person coming out on both brands and acting like they didn't know which person they want to challenge. So this person winning the Royal Rumble, I could see them teasing it versus Sasha, and I could see them teasing it versus possibly Asuka or Charlotte. So, you know, here's the thing. Asuka is going to be women's champion going into Raw. She has no title defense for a singles title. So whoever wins the Women's Royal Rumble, there is a good chance that person is going to show up on Raw and tease challenging for the Women's Championship. If Asuka is, they're not planning to have Asuka be the Women's Champion going into WrestleMania, it's going to look pretty goofy to have the winner of the Royal Rumble tease Asuka on Monday, just have Asuka lose the belt a couple of weeks from now. You know, usually the person who challenges the person ends up having that particular match. They don't usually change championships. You know, obviously COVID, they had to do that, you know, with Braun Strowman and Goldberg. But, I don't see them losing. I see Nia and Shayna losing. So I don't see Asuka and Charlotte losing at the pay-per-view. And I don't see Sasha Banks losing to Carmella. This will be near the end of the feud, and then Sasha Banks will focus on someone else. The thing is, if Sasha Banks is not going to ultimately take on the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble, who will? Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair? Possibly. I could see that happening. That would be like a semi-main event match. So you could have Bianca Belair win the Elimination Chamber and Bianca Belair takes on Sasha, because Bianca can't choose which champion she could face. She's in the SmackDown Elimination Chamber. She could only fight for that. But then again, no, you can have both brands, but if you're a SmackDown wrestler and you win, you could only challenge the SmackDown champion. I don't think Ronda Rousey returns. I don't think so. If Brock Lesnar returns and dominates and wins, I think people would get awfully angry to have Brock Lesnar win and Ronda Rousey win. It would shake shit up, no question, but I don't see that. So with that said, we only have two matches left. Roman Reigns is definitely going to be Kevin Owens. The only question is how. Will Adam Pearce be forced to turn on Kevin Owens? Will Jimmy Uso return? Somebody is going to cause Kevin Owens the win. And like I said, as much as I have these brainstorms and ideas, a la Adam Pearce reluctantly causing the match, or maybe something happens, Adam Pearce is out there, and he's forced to call it because it is last man standing. So something corny can happen to Kevin Owens, and Adam Cole doesn't want to call the match, but may be forced to. Like I said, I'd love to see the curveball of Adam Pearce causing Kevin Owens the match. The only thing is, Adam Pearce, it's going to be hard for him to continue being his position of power if he's a corrupted official. Then you put an awful lot of weight on Sonya Deville being the main person. So I just, it's kind of iffy, but one thing we know for certain, Roman Reigns will retain the title going into WrestleMania. So now the Women's Royal Rumble match. We have Of the 30 women announced, we only have 12. Of the 30 women in the match, we only have 12 announced. The women announced is Nia Jax, Charlotte Flair, and who knows, Charlotte Flair could win the Royal Rumble and challenge Sasha. That's a possibility. Bianca Belair, Bayley, Mandy Rose, Peyton Royce, Dana Brooke, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, Shayna Baszler, and Tamina. Now, Asuka's not in the Women's Royal Rumble because she's a women's champion. Sasha Banks is not in the Women's Royal Rumble because she is a women's champion. Carmella is not mentioned in the Royal Rumble because she's fighting for the championship. But Charlotte is in the Royal Rumble, and so is Nia Jax, and so is Shayna Baszler. Even more of a reason why I don't believe the titles will change on a women's tag side. Because you may have, I personally think you're going to see some miscommunication with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, and that is going to lead into the Women's Royal Rumble match later on. That they will brawl in a Women's Royal Rumble, and that will follow what happens earlier in the tag title match. So, on the women's side, name me some women, not that you want to see in the Rumble, who you think will be in the Women's Royal Rumble. Now, I haven't given you my pick yet. Beth Phoenix, yeah, I'd like to see her in the Rumble. You know, we don't know her views about, you know, the concerns with COVID still. We don't know if anybody's been vaccinated. I could see her doing a Royal Rumble. You know, she wasn't part of the Legends, you know, and she came back for the announcement of the Dusty Women's Tag Team Classic, but, you know, Beth Phoenix is a good possibility. I don't see Lita. I don't see Lita, especially the comments she made recently about the live sex celebration on Raw. I don't think WWE will put her in the Women's Royal Rumble. Mickey James, I absolutely believe she will be in the Women's Royal Rumble. Molly Holly is a great pick. Molly Holly still looks good. She could still go a little bit. She's young. A lot of people like Molly Holly. You feel like WWE could have used her a little bit more over the last bunch of years and haven't. So, yeah, Molly Holly, I could see that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Kelly Kelly, that is a possibility. Eva Marie, if you're bringing Eva Marie back, put her in the Royal Rumble. Maybe you even have her come out there with Angel Garza. You do kind of a switch. Instead of Angel Garza introducing Eva Marie to everybody, Eva Marie comes out for the Women's Royal Rumble, and Angel Garza is by her side with the Rose, and they do it that way. So I could see that. I have no problem with that. Alicia Fox, I don't see why not. Alicia Fox looks like she could still go. Alicia Fox definitely misses doing it. She's in phenomenal shape. So, you know, just going over the top rope is not going to be that big of a deal. So, yeah, Alicia Fox, I like that idea. Raquel Gonzalez, no. No. I don't see Raquel Gonzalez in it. I don't see Shotzi Blackheart in it. I don't see Indy Hartwell or Candice LeRae. I know tonight they were going to have a women's tag team match for the Dusty Classic. I think it was Ember Moon and Shotzi's match. So, especially if they're still in the Dusty Classic, I don't see them participating in the Royal Rumble. I do feel that one woman will be in the Women's Royal Rumble. And believe it or not, I don't think you're really going to see many NXT women in the Women's Royal Rumble and then brought back to NXT. I think Rhea Ripley is going to be in the Women's Royal Rumble. She will probably debut towards the latter part of the match, and that is my pick to win the Women's Royal Rumble. I would be fine with Rhea Ripley versus Asuka at WrestleMania. I would be fine Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte at WrestleMania. And if you really want to go one step further, I could see Asuka versus Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. We know Charlotte and Rhea Ripley could go, and we know Asuka has a great match with anybody, and some people would love to see Rhea Ripley and Asuka go at it a little bit. Xia Li is not going to be in the Women's Royal Rumble. They kept her off TV the last 2 weeks, and they're still just establishing that character. You don't put her in a ring with 29 other women and then get eliminated. You just want her to show up, you know, arrive, throw a couple of kicks, knock her opponent out, and leave with that spectacular entrance. So, I tell you, I'm a little surprised that you're not focusing on more women of yesteryear, because even with Evolution, you know, they brought a lot of names back. But I think, you know, as much as people want to see Trish Stratus in the Royal Rumble, I don't see that. I really don't. And that's a shame. It's a shame. But it would just feel just like a random, you know, person enter. I think Melina could very well be in the Women's Royal Rumble. I think nobody would have a problem if Melina returned. I didn't see one person type Melina. Did anybody write Melina in the chat room? I don't think anybody wrote Melina. I think Melina could be in the Women's Royal Rumble. You're going to look. I think Naomi is going to return. If Naomi is able to work again, Naomi will be in the Women's Royal Rumble. I think you're going to see Mia Yim reckoning in the Women's Royal Rumble. You know, so when you figure it out, I think we've already come up with about 7 or 8 names, which means you still have 10 more to go. If Carmella loses to Sasha early, I could see Carmella declaring herself in the Women's Royal Rumble. And wouldn't that be something if Carmella loses to Sasha earlier in the night, declares herself in the Royal Rumble, and wins it? I don't think that's going to happen, but I could see, I definitely could see Carmella declaring herself in the Royal Rumble. Mercedes Martinez, no. After what happened with Retribution and the interview she did recently, that she prefers to, you know, be in NXT, I don't see her in the Women's Royal Rumble at all. Ember Moon, I don't see it in it either. Taya Valkyrie, that's a possibility. She just finished up with Impact Wrestling. That's actually a really good choice. Michelle McCool, you know, she recently had COVID. And even though the Royal Rumble match is, you don't have to exert too much, you know, we don't know, you know, how much of a recovery she has had so far. So Michelle McCool is definitely not a bad idea. It's just a matter of how much she's recovered from COVID. By now, she's no longer has COVID, but, you know, may take a little while. Becky Lynch, as much as I would love to see Becky Lynch, and I trust me, with the watch along, I probably would pop big time. Once you open that Pandora's box again, you can't close it. If Becky Lynch is going to be in the Women's Royal Rumble, Becky Lynch is going to stay around for a little bit. And with a newborn baby, I just don't see that happening. I really don't. I wouldn't mind seeing Becky Lynch in it. Ivory, I think, unfortunately, is a little bit too past, you know, her career. Medusa, I know lately she is, you know, publicly kind of criticized AEW for not bringing in more women's legends. And she's also asked WWE, when are you going to give me my retirement match? I don't know if she would be in the Women's Royal Rumble, to be honest with you. So, but and the last name I will name right now, Tessa Blanchard. Tony, I think that's a great idea. That would be something, man. If Tessa Blanchard debuted in the Royal Rumble, that would be pretty freaking sweet. The only issue is, what brand is she on? You know, if she just comes in, you know, with a legend, it's different. Because a legend's coming in, they're just, you know, coming in and they go. With Tessa Blanchard, there'd be so much buzz, you know, unless they say that she's a free agent and she's negotiating with all the brands. If she were to show up, she would be either Raw or SmackDown, not NXT. So We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I'm going with Rhea Ripley. And right now, it's just a matter of who she challenges. Personally, I would not be surprised if Charlotte is the women's champion by WrestleMania. And I think Rhea Ripley has the rematch with Charlotte. And this time, Rhea Ripley goes out on top. Those are the two WrestleMania rematches I think we may see. Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So those are your matches for the Royal Rumble. Now, remember, I will be here Sunday night, 6:45 p.m. Eastern, to do your watch-along. First time we're doing it, but I think we'll have a lot of fun. I don't see why not. And we'll be hanging out and chatting all throughout the night. So, and Mish will be coming on from time to time. So now we finish up talking about Wednesday's ratings. AEW and NXT, you know, a lot closer than anybody ever expected. A lot of people tried to blame it on that 18-minute blackout, which was mostly streaming, you know, services, which is not Nielsen boxes. But still, you know, it caused a lot of people to change the channel. What I did this week that I don't normally do is I took the quarter-hour ratings for both brands, and I put them right side to side to see how they fared against each other quarter after quarter after quarter. And it's an interesting little trend that you notice when you look at the numbers like that. But and I have last week's quarter hour ratings too. Those I will just fly through, but they're good to know because you will see the continued trends of what we have been saying. Inner Circle's numbers have not been that impressive. The storyline with Moxley and Kenny Omega has been fizzling as far as numbers go. And the Young Bucks, surprisingly, the numbers are trending substantially downward. You know, with this storyline teasing, you would think with this all this buzz about Bullet Club stuff that you would see numbers popping for those quarters. You're seeing the opposite. On the NXT side, I will sum it up with this. A lot of people are happy to see MSK in NXT. And MSK is a very interesting dynamic right now as far as fans. They actually popped a really nice number this week. Last week, when they made their debut the week before, I told everyone, you know, nobody knew that they were going to be appearing. So you can't base that quarter hour because a lot of people didn't know. Nobody really knew. This week, when they advertised their match, everybody knew they were going to be on. And the numbers reflected that. But the big thing about NXT, the number one trend, women's matches. Raquel Gonzalez, Rhea Ripley obviously going to the main roster, Io Shirai, a lot of the women in NXT are popping some of the best consistent numbers. I would love for WWE to have a special on Wednesday night that was only women's wrestling in NXT. I would love to see it. Now, a year ago, I said that WWE is afraid to have an all-women's show on television, even for one special night, because if the rating bombs, that kind of sends the wrong message that fans are not into women's wrestling on NXT as much as people think that they are. But there's enough stats in now to show that when it comes to Wednesdays, fans really do drift consistently to the women's matches. I'm telling you, anybody that follows my show on a weekly basis, and I get into the numbers, you see the women, for more than not, you know, have some pretty solid, not every woman, obviously. Some women on NXT don't pop numbers. Not everybody does, but there are a group of people that do. So let's get into it. So we'll get into AEW first. We'll get into NXT second, and I will read you side by side how they faced each other in a quarter hours. And it's very interesting what you're going to hear. I promise you. AEW, hour one, Now, we're doing this week. Then we'll wrap up with last week. Just so you know how last week did. AEW Hour 1, 754,000. Hour 2, 714,000 for a composite of 734. That Hour 2 is not very good for AEW standards. So anyway, Eddie Kingston versus Lance Archer did 760,000 viewers. Now, let me jump one step ahead for a minute. For people out there that are going to say, well, you know what? A lot of people couldn't see that match and they tuned in 18 minutes in. So the second hour, the second quarter hour would have recovered big time because so many fans couldn't see the first quarter hour because there was some technical difficulties. Well, let me just put holes in that idea right now. AEW's first quarter hour did 760,000 viewers. The second quarter, which was the Sting Darby Allin segment in the condemned warehouse where everybody thought, you know, we were supposed to believe that they were tough breaking windows on a condemned warehouse. Like I said, that's like me tearing up a piece of paper that I was throwing in the garbage. That segment, and then Chris Jericho and MJF versus Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison, that second quarter hour after the technical difficulty went down another 29,000. So all those viewers that they said couldn't see the first quarter hour, the second quarter hour went down even more. Now, if you say to me, well, on NXT side, maybe a lot of people on NXT were there because of AEW, and then the second quarter, they left NXT to go back to AEW. Well, NXT's first quarter hour did 832. MSK versus Killian Dane and Drake Maverick did 832. That actually beat Eddie Kingston versus Lance Archer. But the second quarter, which was the Curt Stallion interview and Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez versus Jesse Kamiya and Aaliyah, that went down only 12,000 viewers. AEW's quarter hour went down 29,000 viewers. So that second quarter hour, when technical difficulties restored, those two shows combined lost 40,000 viewers. They both went down. So that just shows you right there that's bullshit. So anyway, let's get back to AEW. So Sting and Darby Allin, Jericho and MJF versus the Varsity Blondes went down almost 30,000 viewers. Pac's interview, Shaq's challenge, Cody accepting it, the whole segment with Red Velvet, that rating jumped 57,000 viewers to 788,000. Cody still is Teflon in AEW. Cody's numbers always impress. Wait till I give you the quarter hour number of Cody versus pretty lousy Peter Avalon. Wait. Adam Hangman Page versus Ryan Nemeth and the Matt Hardy, Adam Page back and forth that followed. That rating did 737,000 viewers, a drop of 51,000. Jungle Boy versus Dax Harwood. Great match. We praised it to death. Be surprised. Well, good news is the match rating only went down 1,000 viewers. The bad news is the match rating went down 1,000 viewers. It kept its rating, but it didn't. People that were channel surfing didn't stay stuck on that match, so it went down. The finish of that match, Team Taz's promo, and then Britt Baker versus Shana. That dropped another 24,000 viewers. The finish of Britt Baker versus Shana, Thunder Rosa hitting the ring, the backstage segment with MJF and Sammy Guevara, and the backstage segment with the Young Bucks, the Good Brothers, Kenny Omega and Don Callis, that only rose 3,000 viewers. Surprising. Here's the best part. The Young Bucks and the Good Brothers versus the Dark Order and everything that happened afterwards, that rating went down 19,000 viewers to 696. You think about a lot of these quarter hours breaking a million a couple of weeks ago, and not just because Brody Lee passed. And your main event, this huge storyline, your ratings went down 20,000 viewers. Now, for anyone's going to say to me, well, you know, maybe they tuned into NXT's main event. And that's why the ratings went down. NXT's main event only went up 4,000 viewers. What does that tell you? When I get into side-by-sides, you'll see the trend that as the shows go on, fans are tuning off the channel for both shows. NXT had the opportunity to beat the shit out of AEW in the ratings this week, and their second hour always does them in. So now we go to NXT. Hour one, 789,000 viewers. Hour two, 652,000 viewers for a composite of 720,000. Opening quarter of MSK versus Killian Dane and Drake Maverick did 832,000 viewers. Kurt Stallion's interview and the match between Jesse Kamiya and Aliyah versus Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai only dropped 12,000 viewers to 820. 820 is a very impressive number for those women. Johnny Gargano and Away doing a backstage interview. Scarlett with the tarot cards and the match between Tyler Rust and Dante Rios only dropped 35,000 viewers to 785. That's impressive. That did a bigger number by almost 100,000 viewers than the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers versus the Dark Order. Think about that for a minute. Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly's promo, and then the Grizzled Young Veterans versus Kushida and Leon Ruff. Pretty much what I've been saying about the Grizzled Young Veterans. Nobody this week has sold me so far why they should be a ratings draw for me. That quarter hour dropped 68,000 viewers. Not impressive at all. Kurt Stallion's segment backstage where he was injured. And then you had Tony Storm doing the interview and starting the three-way brawl with her, Mercedes Martinez, and Io Shirai. That dropped only 5,000 viewers to 712. But as you notice, that is the story of NXT that night. The sixth quarter, which was the very end of the confrontation with Tony Storm, Mercedes Martinez, and Io Shirai, Isaiah Swerve Scott's interview, and then his match against Bronson Reed, they better start taking notice about the horrible numbers Isaiah Swerve Scott scores, because that match, that quarter hour, dropped another 70,000 viewers. And guess what? On the AEW side, their quarter hour also went down. So it's not that fans are changing the channel to go watch AEW. They're just like, I'm done for the night. Quarter seven, which was the final moments of Bronson Reed versus Isaiah Swerve Scott, and then you had the segments that involved Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa. That rating dropped 17,000 viewers to 625. And then your main event, Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. As I've been saying, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, they're impressive. Fans are not connected with them. That match only went up 4,000 viewers. Not impressed at all. So now if you look at NXT, NXT, this is amazing. NXT started with 832,000 viewers. And by the end of the night, they were down to 629. AEW started at 760, and they pretty much, you know, didn't fluctuate too much. But in the end, they were down to 696,000 viewers. So let's do a head-to-head each quarter, and then I'll give you the trend. So NXT's number is going to be first, and then AEW's number is going to be second when I give you these numbers. NXT beat AEW the first quarter hour, 832 to 760. They beat AEW in the second quarter hour, 820 to 731. They almost tied the third quarter hour, 785 to 788. They almost tied quarter four, which was 717 to 737. They almost tied quarter five, which was 712 to 736. Then it nosedived. AEW beat NXT 712 to 642 for quarter six. Quarter seven, they beat NXT 715 to 625. And the last quarter, AEW beat NXT 696 to 629. So when you look at NXT from beginning to end. Remember, 720 is the average. 720 is the average. You ready? 832, 820, 785, 717, 712, 642, 625, 629. Every quarter went down except for the main event that only increased by 4,000 viewers. NXT starts out hot and then it just fizzles out. AEW this week, 734 is the average. 760, 731, 788, 737, 736, 712, 715, 696. So it fluctuated a little bit. So, last week, obviously the numbers were much different last week, but still, you're going to be very fascinated with some of these numbers. I will give you this time NXT's numbers first. NXT last week, quarter one, 682. Quarter three, hour one, 682. Hour number two, 633 for a composite of 658,000 viewers. The opening match of Kushida and Leon Ruff versus Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory opened up at 739,000 viewers. Quarter two, which was the Pete Dunne interview, the promo package, Tyler Rust and Malcolm Bivens interview, Karrion Kross versus Ashante Adonis. Look, I am a big supporter of Karrion Kross. They still have to spend a lot of time building him. But almost every time I mention Karrion Kross match, the numbers go down. His match with Ashante Adonis dropped 49,000 viewers to 690,000. The package that NXT put together of MSK, Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel versus the Lucha House Party, that dropped another 42,000 viewers to 648. The finish of that match and then the segment with Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher hyping up the Fight Pit match later on, that increased only 2,000 viewers to 650, but it didn't go down. Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter versus Tony Storm and Mercedes Martinez scored 695,000 viewers, an increase of 45,000, the biggest increase of the whole night. Finn Balor promo, Tommaso Ciampa's promo right before the Fight Pit, and then that promo with Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter after their win, along with Bronson Reed versus Tyler Rust, that rating dropped slightly, 10,000 viewers to 635. The Undisputed Era and Finn Balor's promo towards the end of the night, the interview with Santos Escobar, and then the promo with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, that dropped another 40,000 viewers to 595. And then your main event, the Fight Pit match, Tommaso Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher, which I thought was an awesome match. You'd be surprised. The rating only increased 13,000 viewers to 608,000. Pretty disappointing as far as that match goes. So now we go to AEW. Hour one, 890,000 viewers. Hour two, 818,000 viewers for a composite of 854. The opening match, the Dark Order and Hangman Page versus Jack Evans and Helico and Luther and Serpentico. And then the segment where they, they wanted Hangman Page and the Dark Order and he said no. That opened up with 927,000 viewers. Pretty impressive. The second quarter, the interviews with MJF and Chris Jericho, and then the segment with Sting, Darby Allin, and Team Taz for the street fight. Jericho, MJF, Sting, Darby Allin, Team Taz. That rating dropped 70,000 viewers to 858,000. Sting's numbers are starting to drop. Quarter three, the Young Bucks and Don Callis. Remember when they beat up Don Callis? And then Cody Rhodes versus Peter Avalon. That quarter hour increased 35,000 viewers to 883,000. Peter Avalon, as much as we don't think he belongs on Dynamite, part of a pretty impressive quarter hour. The finish of that match, the I guess the segment in the bar with FTR and Jurassic Express, and then John Moxley versus Nick Camarado. That rating increased 10,000 viewers to 893. Eddie Kingston and Lance Archer promos hyping up for this week. The beginning of Private Party and Matt Hardy versus Top Flight and Matt Sydal, that dropped 46,000 viewers to 847. The finish of that match and the Inner Circle segment, that increased only 8,000 viewers to 855. You look at all the numbers, you see the trend going down. Layla Hirsch versus Penelope Ford, the interview with Miro and Chuck Taylor, Kenny Omega and Carl Anderson and Duck Gallows in the back beating up Pentagon, that rating dropped 80,000 viewers to 775. And the main event, the Inner Circle 3 tag team match, the winners pursue the tag titles. As we talked about Wednesday, why the fuck are they all still in the Battle Royal? The whole reason for this main event was to only have one team advance. Well, that rating only scored 793,000 viewers, an increase of 18,000 viewers. So now, let's just summarize. The average for NXT was 658, 739, 690, 648, 650, 695, 635, 595, 608. You see where they get these big drops and they don't recover? That happens when NXT a lot. AEW, 854 is the average. 927, 858, 883, 893, 847, 855, 775, 793. See? You see the difference. This week with NXT, like I said, they could have beaten AEW if they had a better hour or two. Too many vignettes, some matches with participants that are notorious for not getting great numbers, and then you rely on the main event, and the main event only goes up 4,000 viewers. Look at the fight pit. Look at the two quarters that occurred before the fight pit. You had people turning off the channel, and you never went back. The whole thing we said last week. So anyway, those are your quarter hour ratings. So with that said, I am going to jet out of here. So don't forget, this Sunday, 6:45 p.m., starting a little bit early, I will have munchies, I will have plenty of beverages, and I will have a certain someone inside if I'm in need of replenishment. I don't have to get up and leave everybody here with just dead air, but... Thank you. Soulfly, thank you for reminding me. Shit, I don't put stuff on the banners to tease people. Yeah, let's talk about Coach. I feel a bit bad for the people that disconnected a little bit early, thinking I was just going to say goodnights. I don't think websites have caught on to this yet, but I'm very curious as to what happened. But somebody foolishly asked Jonathan Coachman if he would appear in the Royal Rumble. Now, I don't even know why somebody would ask a question like that, but Coach's response was very interesting. It was only one sentence, and this is what he had to say. I will never go back to the WWE. Does anybody have any idea what the hell happened? I mean, I know, you know, they had some issues with him on commentary and they made tweaks and everything, but even the fact that Coach is now part of CBS Sports, I mean, CBS Sports, I don't think really has any big deal with WWE in any way, shape, or form. Now, David, I know he's been in a Rumble before, but he's not a character on WWE programming anymore. Like, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams would want to see Jonathan Coachman in the Royal Rumble. I don't even think Jonathan Coachman would want to be in a Royal Rumble, even if he was on the best of terms with WWE and got a huge payday out of it. Like, you got 10 spots to fill. You want to see Cena. You want to see The Fiend. You want to see this person, this person. You found out Braun Strowman tonight and this and that. But it's not even the Royal Rumble part of it. It's the fact that he gave back this response. I will never go back to the WWE. I'm a little surprised that the net hasn't picked up on this. Because I want to know what the hell happened. It's definitely not just a contractual issue. That sounds angry. That sounds Mike Bennett angry. That sounds almost Ryback angry, even though Ryback, you know, a lot of injuries in as well. But to just point blank say, and you know, look, Chris, I agree with you. His last commentating job for the WWE was disappointing. No question. He has even admitted that. But the way you say that, that's anger. That is resentment. That is not disappointment on maybe a job not well done. That sounds like somebody was burned. I don't know the story. I'm not going to guess. I'm not going to lie and assume. I will try to get you the answers. But when I saw that, I'm like, whoa, whoa. You know, like, Coach once in a while making an appearance is a good thing. I always enjoyed his little appearances. What the hell happened for him to say never? You know, Bret Hart said never. Bruno said never. You know what I mean? CM Punk pretty much said never. Coach to say that? What the hell happened with Coach and WWE to get to that? I got to find out. I got to find out. Again, you know, it's sad because, as I always say, a lot of people out there, unless they get a lot of hits, a lot of likes, and a lot of tweet banging, you know, things like this, they'll just set aside. And then when someone else spends the time on it, that's when they'll cut and paste. And then if it gets a little traction, then suddenly they give a shit. I'll try to get you the answers. So, no, I don't know his song offhand. Want me to sing? I don't know his song offhand. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. We're under 2 hours again, which is great because my main intentions tonight was to discuss SmackDown, Royal Rumble predictions, Coach, obviously, and the ratings for AEW and NXT. So in the comment section, you know, I'd love for you to comment about tonight's SmackDown. Any of your predictions that you'd like to be heard, post them in the comment section. Any of your predictions that are different from mine and some of your fellow members in the chat, post them. You know, it'd be pretty cool to see if so. Now, look, usually when we see the word edited in a comment, you know, then you don't know if somebody edited it after a match result. So, you know, post something, you stick to it, or be slick about it. You post it, you end up being wrong, delete the whole fucking comment and then rewrite it. You know, unfortunately, we see the timestamp, then we know that you posted it late anyway. But, you know, definitely leave me some of your predictions. What do you think is going to go down? Especially if you have a totally different prediction on the men's Royal Rumble match and the women's Royal Rumble match, post it. Be pretty cool to see if some of you end up nailing it. So, no, I don't remember the cover of the theme. I don't really remember. That one is drawing blanks. I'll probably remember after the show is over. So, what was this song again? I did a cover of the Coach's theme? Wow, I don't really remember that. I don't remember that. Oh, by the way, you know, since Alpha is bringing up comments, especially the chat room, I've been getting a bunch of you emailing and DMing me saying that you go back and watch the shows, you notice that your chats don't appear. There is a setting when you watch the video back, in the top right-hand corner, right above the chat transcript, there is a setting. It says top chat replay and live chat replay. I think by default, top chat replay normally is the setting, and you have to change that setting. Because I had a few people early on tell me, look, my chat's not showing up. And I watched it back. I'm like, hey, you know, he's right. And then I saw the top chat. And when I changed it to live, boom, it was there. Yeah, Anthony, I don't remember doing the cover of the coach's theme. I have to go back and look at my, you know, audio archives. So, but if I find... Well, no, Top Chat Replay doesn't show everything. That's my point. A lot of people have the setting on Top Chat Replay, so it doesn't show every comment that's posted, especially if you have the Top Chat Replay setting, and then if I have everybody's chat visible on the screen, and you look at them side by side, they don't sync up because my setting where I have it on the screen is everybody's chat. So Sunday, like I said, when you see this banner right here, that left side where you see all the wrestlers and where it says watch along, that whole side is going to be a chat room for most of the night. I'm going to have the chat on the screen, and I'm going to use the full chat replay, not just the top chat. So, you know, I'll make sure that that's the setting that's on there. This way, everybody's comments, because like I said, it's not just going to be me reacting to this stuff. It's going to be you as well. So we'll have a lot of fun. We always have fun. You know that. So anyway, with that said, I'm going to get out of here. If you enjoyed today's show, like I said, on the way out, if you could hit that like button, give it a thumbs up. That tells YouTube you recommend the show, which they in turn will recommend it to others, which is always a cool thing. And special shout out to everybody who is fairly new to the show. I love hearing that, especially doing this for that many years, to have people still say, hey, I just found out about your show. And I'm like, wow, I'm around since 97. You didn't know? So, and that's actually a good thing, because people that have heard of my shows from yesteryear, I usually get the same, you know, phrase back. Oh, that guy's an asshole. He's a racist. He's this. He's that. He's this. And they don't know what they're talking about. So, but anyway. Oh, yeah, Darren, four thumbs down. It's the usual suspects, man. Couple of podcasters out there that are extremely angry that I am here doing what we do, but it's all good, man. Like I said, you know, we block that noise out. Don't bring it up anymore. That was one of my vows for you. That was a New Year's, not, you know, resolution. That was an obligation. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I do New Year's obligations. It is my obligation to just keep that noise out. And if people are that bitter, and I don't even want to say jealousy. If anybody's jealous of what I do, that's pretty sad, because, you know, I'm not impressed at what I do. But I love hanging out with all of you. I love chatting with you all. I mean, everybody's got a different, you know, style and a different viewpoint as far as what you like and don't like. And some of you are crazy-ass mofos, man, so... I just try to politely say, when I say the cast of chat room characters, you know, and I poke a little humor on there, take that as a compliment, because I love the diverse personalities. I look at some of the names over here, and I don't know what you guys look like. I don't know anything other than the chat rooms, but some of you are like just like characters. You know, so when I talk to like Mish off the show, he's like, you know, hey, you know, what about Ken Terminator by TQ and Sam and Darren and this and Guardian Chaos? I know what he looks like, but, you know, there's so many of you out there. And I run up a bad tree, because I start naming names and then someone will say to me, how come you didn't mention my name? You got Jay Carlos and Popo Jr. and Soulfly and Austin and Austin. So, no, Vince will not be in the Royal Rumble. I'd love to see Shane in the Royal Rumble. What do you all think about Shane being in the Royal Rumble? I wouldn't mind seeing Shane McMahon in the Royal Rumble. What about Amos? Amos. Think he should be in the Royal Rumble? There's two names I didn't think about before. So, we'll see what happens. Nah, Raven won't be in the Royal Rumble. So... anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Much love, everybody, as always. And, you know, if you're around Sunday, join me, 6:45 p.m. Eastern. Even if you can't make it that early, You know, I know a lot of you are just going to want to sit and lounge out, maybe eat, drink or whatever. But, you know, if you have your computer on, stop by for a little while. You know, let us know what you think about the show. And, you know, we'll do a little bit of live reaction. And the show will continue until the pay-per-view goes off the air. So it'll be a lot of fun. First time we're ever doing a watch along. But like I said, I've watched Wrestling Days in the past, and I've watched a few people. I've watched some of the WWE watch alongs. And yes, they have many different people in the same room watching it. But, you know, some people who do the solo and they have the chat going as well, you know, they do a pretty damn good job, you know. Even with these silences, you know, you kind of go with. Now, what I will do is I will have a graphic on the screen for each match that's going down. So this way, even I'll have timestamps too, but this way, even when you're looking at the chat, you know, you'll know exactly what match we're talking about. So, and I, like I said, I am going to work on having that little countdown there. You see what an 05 is? I'm going to try to get a countdown thing going. So every time they do the countdown, we'll do it as well. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I think this is going to be a pretty good Royal Rumble. You know, not too many matches announced, which I think is a good thing. So, all right, everybody, I'm going to get out of here. So once again, have a great night. Be well. Stay safe. And I catch you all again Friday. No, today is Friday. What am I saying? Sunday, bloody Sunday. 6:45 p.m. Eastern. I almost said 10:05. So have a good weekend, everybody. Take care. And if you can't catch us Sunday night, enjoy the Royal Rumble. I think it's going to be a lot better than people think. So good night, everybody. Brock Lesnar's going to win it.